Hi, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I'm Chris Lucian, and my co-host is Austin Chadwick. And today we have Matt Kaloran and Aaron Griffith joining us to talk about models of introverts and extroverts interactions. So maybe you guys could introduce yourselves, maybe starting with Matt, and then we can kind of get into the discussion a little bit after that.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. I'm Matt Kaloran, as Chris said, and I am an introvert, but I extrovert well. So that's how, at least how I define myself.
My name is Aaron Griffith, and I'm an introvert who does not extrovert well. I probably skew more further to the introvert side.
All right. Austin, Chris,
So for me, I'm pretty sure I was born like a super, super strong introvert. Some people may not believe it who know me now, but I was raised, you don't believe it, no. But I was raised by like extreme wild extroverts. So I think 18 years of being around them brought me more towards the middle. And they still see me as an introvert, like when I talk to my parents and stuff. So my technical type with Myers-Briggs last time I took the test was, for those of you who care, is ENTJ. So the E is there, but it was, according to the test, only slightly, apparently. So how about you, Chris?
So I do gain energy from being around people, but I'm perfectly happy being alone for very long periods of time. So I think technically I might be considered an extrovert because I can interact with people like all the time, but if you locked me up in a room and said you can't come out for a year and a half, then I apparently am totally happy with that. So that's where I am. Yeah.
nice. And the reason why we kind of thought this would be a fun discussion to have is recently mob programming obviously makes people interact. to get things done, you're interacting all day long. So it definitely amplifies any kind of interpersonal interaction. And all of us are mob programmers for at least several years. And so I just thought it'd be great because at least for me, I've been learning a lot when I'm switching mobs, like what makes introverts and extroverts mob well or work well together on a team and what things maybe hurt that or don't work as well. So just to kind of throw it open, maybe I'll go to you, Aaron, first and say, like, what things have you seen make introverts and extroverts interact well in a team or a mob?
when you first asked that, I was going to say, and I think we've talked about this before, is I feel like the responsibility sometimes falls to the extroverts to sort of control how that goes, but I don't know if that's necessarily true when I think about it a little bit more. I think being mindful of the idea of extroverts and introverts is important. I wasn't for the longest time. I just thought I was weird until I found out well into my adulthood that it's okay to be an introvert. So I think just knowing that there are different types and that you have to communicate with an extrovert or an introvert, whatever your preference may be, is just knowing what other people's styles are and being able to work around it, I think, is probably the biggest thing.
Nice. Yeah. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I think in the environments that I've been in, if someone has a good idea, introvert or extrovert, the spaces that I work in are usually open enough that it's just fair game. Like the introverts feel comfortable enough to put that on the table. And I think like Aaron said, it's kind of up to the extroverts at that point, whether or not that gets picked up and like kind of championed. But I don't know like specific environmental factors that that make it more likely for a certain type to open up, aside from psychological safety.
Nice. Cool. So in my travels lately with mobbing, I've been trying to come up with names for different ways I've seen introverts and extroverts work together. And so one of, I think it's the only model I've used for a long time until recently. and I'd really love your guys, everyone's feedback on it. And my failure to come up with a name, I called it the both stretch model. So that it basically, when you're in a team or a mob, the goal is for both to stretch in the other direction towards each other, right? And so, you know, so for example, the obvious things that an extrovert could do wrong is fill up all the empty space and talk, you know, all the time and never ask a question, right? And so the extroverts would stretch by, you know, for one, leaving room for silence, let people finish what they're saying instead of interrupting or interjecting as soon as you hear something you like. And that one thing I heard from kind of more Myers-Briggs training, and maybe, you know, some people aren't on board with that style of personality typing, but one thing that I really liked about it was certain people are waiting to be asked what they think, and some people will just tell you, right? And so one way I can see is extroverts could stretch by asking people questions, you know? So it'd be like, you know, let's say two more extroverted people are arguing back and forth, and maybe they're starting to move to action. It's good for a facilitator in the mob or team to be like, hey, what do you think? You know, and ask someone else what they think. Or does anybody else have a thought on this before we vote or move? And then maybe the more controversial part of this model is the extroverts will stretch, the introverts will also stretch by having the courage to engage and speak, you know what I mean? And so when someone asks to share your opinion, right? And to respond honestly and fully, and to either accept what's going on or communicate if you don't accept what's going on. And basically this model assumes psychological safety. It doesn't try to establish it, it just assumes it and runs with it, right? So that's one model. There's another model we can talk about later too, but I was just interested in anybody's general feedback on this style, their pros and cons. Have you seen this used? Have you seen it go poorly? any thoughts there?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure, sure.
You described it as controversial, I think, when you were talking about the introvert side. And I was just curious why you think it's controversial.
Well, I mean, that would be getting into another model where it basically, other models may not assume psychological safety. So they won't assume that people will answer when you ask them a question, right? For example, where this model just kind of assumes that I can ask people questions and hopefully they'll respond kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing that, that I've picked up, you know, from the stretching side, is, you know, Diana Larson in the past had said, leave at least 28 seconds, or actually exactly 28 seconds of silence, which is extraordinarily difficult for me. I think 28 seconds really is stretching my ability to not talk. And so, you know, once I did start practicing that, I did see, things start happening naturally. I think the both stretch model, assumes that everybody has heard of the both stretch model, right? And so if there's some anchoring and base, level setting, then it's reasonable. But I think that there's probably a general consensus that that people who jump in and who are ready to speak and ready to contribute and are thinking to themselves, why isn't everybody else contributing? You know, I think in general, it's very easy for them to always fill up that space and then not realize what's going on. You know, and I think that maybe on the other side of that, the introvert may be brooding to themselves because it's like, hey, this person will never let me get a word out. And so I did like Diana Larson's 28 second rule. I think that I thought that was, it's been really useful for me. You know, Aaron and I had mobbed for about 3 to 4 years straight together. And our interactions, I think, were helped by concepts like that. I hope. Yeah. I do, you know, there is that, like, I think if people know what psychological safety is and they are ready to practice it you know, right off the bat. And that sort of like education anchoring is there. I think that the both stretch model can work. Yeah.
Well, when I was first reading about the both stretch model, and at first I didn't realize it was the both stretch model, I was just reading. And I was reading about how introverts are expected to stretch. And at first I was like, yeah, introverts, like we always get hosed. Like we're the ones stretching. And then I got to the part about extroverts and I started thinking about it. And I was like, oh, wow, they have to stretch too. Maybe even more so than the introvert, because, you know, we talked about, you know, filling the space and, you know, feeling like they need to speak. But then there's also the fact that, you know, if they're mindful that they're introverts there, then they're sort of tasked with the responsibility, like, okay, I've got these introverts here. I need to ask these leading questions. Like I have to pull the information from them. And then I actually started to feel bad as an introvert that I do that to the extroverts, even, you know, at work as well as in personal relationships as well. So that was something I was thinking about as I was reading about that.
That's super interesting about the 28 second rule. Mm-hmm. I think when I first started mobbing, I've gotten feedback from others that like I do everything in my power to take an awkward situation and make it not awkward. And I kind of like take the onus on myself by being like self-deprecating or like, you know, making jokes. But that's like to fill space, right? And I think when I first started mobbing, I just immediately went to that without realizing, like I do now, that space is really healthy, and it's kind of like incubation period for ideas. And now I just like stop myself when there's a long pause, and usually at the end of it, I or someone else has a great idea. So yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, for me, that silence gives me anxiety. So I like to just think of it as like bask in the radioactive glow of the silence, right? Like that's like what's going on in my head, and then it works. Like I'm okay afterwards, but you know, I just gotta deal with it, and that's good. But I view that as really valuable advice, because I think that when I started doing that and when I remember to do it, really good things happen, and I can, you know, I can build that bridge, I guess. And then my impression of people changes depending on the reactions to that, because, you know, if somebody is like always in the mindset of like, I'll let everybody else speak before me, and then even then I'll let my idea kind of incubate beforehand. Then, you know, for me, I'm just like, okay, well, like we can go on to the next thing now. Like, let's go. Yeah, but it's definitely, I think, an exercise of will for both sides, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'll even think to myself, oh, I need to give space here. And I'll be like, okay, I'm going to wait 28 seconds because I've heard the same rule. And then unless I'm not literally counting or literally like doing something, my 28 seconds is like 4 seconds. Yeah.
It must have been an hour already. I think it's okay for you to talk now.
But there are times where I have willed myself to do it. And what's great is the silence becomes more and more comfortable the more and more you do it. And it is that radioactive uncomfortable for some people. And I'm definitely there. But once you get used to it, and then you really start to see behaviors you don't see when you're not filling the void, right? Where if you wait long enough, usually someone will start facilitating, right? A mob, or say their idea, or something like that. And so it is, I think I heard it from you, Aaron. I think you heard it from Paul Tevis, but you used it a lot when we were mobbing together a couple years ago, where you're saying, I seek to be the fruitful void, right? In the right? Yeah. Yeah, I think there can be a lot of fruit from that. A lot of thing, switch topics a little bit, I've seen a lot, it's been pretty active on Twitter of late, of how could an introvert possibly mob program all day or mob program longer than 30 minutes? We all mob with, I think, primarily introverts, but we have two here. How do y'all make it work, I suppose, and not be exhausted completely?
I think the biggest obstacle that I face as an introvert in mob programming is when I like muster the courage to like declaim an idea, and it is like not shot down, but just like, no, I think we're going to go a different direction. And I think it's a lot like stand-up comedy, because you're in the moment with like this audience of people and you want to make a good impression, and it's like, no, no, thank you. No, no, thank you. Whereas like, you know, stand-up comic at home is just like writing down ideas and then you think about it for a couple of days. And I think that like it has a lot to do with the fact that code review is baked in to mobbing. So like if you have an idea, you write it out, code review comes back a couple of days later, like, oh, we don't like that. But you know, the code review happens instantaneously and your ideas are thrown in the trash. And that can be draining. And that's probably the most draining aspect of it. But I think what I've learned is it, the most important part of it is to just get the ideas out there, because that could turn on a light bulb in someone else's head. And that's how mobbing works.
How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I would agree with what Matt said, and to add to that, you know, it's, you know, to take breaks. You know, we have breaks sort of built in to the you know, where I work, so that's not really a problem. You can take breaks. You're free to get up and, you know, take some time for yourself, self-care. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's just kind of what we said at the beginning. You just have to be mindful that, you know, you're working with other people, and it's not the same as when you're, you know, when you're working by yourself. You know, I think Chris and I have talked a little bit about the expedition mentality. I think a lot of that factors in as well. But you know, it's still hard. Like, you know, even now that I'm more aware of my introvertedness and team dynamics and all that, like I still struggle with it. You know, there's like, you know, last year was hard with COVID, you know, and switching to from in office to remote, you know, being on a new team, being in a new tech stack, like all those things, for, at least for me as an introvert, like those are all challenges that sort of factor in, you know, when I'm working on the team. So, you know, just being mindful of those and just maybe sharing those things with the team when it comes up. I don't know. So I'd say just communication is probably the biggest thing, and, you know, stretching.
Yeah, it's almost like just being vulnerable with that stuff. Say, you know, can go a long way for people's understanding, and then also people, I think, want to help in general. And so, you know, sometimes the, you know, it might be easier to just kind of like keep it in, but that's part of the stretch as well. Vulnerability, trust, appreciation. Like, even though I find myself talking very often and a lot, right? I really have to distinctly remind myself to like to show appreciation often, right? And so, but you know, I think a lot of these things are essentially skills that come over time through reflecting over your own behavior, and then saying like, how can I be a little bit better? And then also, how can I talk about it to others to then find ways to help everyone be better together, right?
Definitely. And I think what was said about breaks is really important. And I think because some personality types are energized by mobbing, right? And I've seen it before where break timer, someone's like, ah, oh, we're doing good, and then they just skip the break and keep going, right? And I think the problem with that is people who feel energized by the mobbing and want to keep going without the break, they need a break too. They just don't feel it as obviously, right? You know what I mean? Because when you get up and take a break, often, you know, system one starts activating, your subconscious is working on a problem. It's healthier, right? You start walking around instead of sitting. But also there are people probably in your team or mob who really need the break. And it's good to keep doing that. And I've seen it turn some people from just like coping with mobbing. I've heard it turn to thriving, you know, while mobbing. And I guess maybe along that lines, is there any other things that have helped turn mobbing from like something I just kind of cope with, or, you know, heavy team interaction, to something I really enjoy doing? Yeah. What do you think, Matt or Aaron?
I think people championing the unheard voice has helped a lot. I think just the camaraderie that mobbing builds, like working on really tough, interesting problems, and then you get to go back to the same team the next day and just like keep building on that. So the interpersonal relationships that come out of it that I think are a lot stronger than the relationships that I've built in solo programming environments. So that's definitely helped make it more bearable, but like to a more extreme introvert, that might be the opposite feeling.
I would agree with Matt. That would be exactly like to me, it wouldn't matter what the, you know, the subject matter is for the technology. Like if you're, you know, writing software, you know, to analyze dirt, or, you know, just something that may be boring to you, it doesn't matter how boring it is. To me, it's what's more important is the people I'm working with. So yeah, for me, it's like just building that relationship with a group of people, you know, developing that trust, the psychological safety, like you said, and just getting that comfort level. Because I know for me, like it takes me a little bit to get comfortable with the group, and then once I get comfortable, I kind of come out of my shell a little bit. So I would agree with you, Matt. I think to me, it's the relationships and the camaraderie that helps me out.
Nice. Yeah, right on. Cool. Well, I had kind of one more, at least one more question. And that was, it's something I've been learning about more lately after switching around mobs. And I just really love your guys, all your thoughts on it. And so we kind of talked about the both stretch model, and I've been kind of operating that way for a while. And then I've been really trying to learn about, understand people who seem to operate in a different model than that. And it's one call, the way I'm trying to phrase it is the silent senior, basically. And from how I can take it, instead of assuming psychological safety and kind of modeling both sides stretching, it's like you establish psychological safety and don't assume it, right? And so what it means, the way I kind of took it was, let's say you're in a team where psychological safety is really low, and there's maybe a lot of dynamics going on where, you know, anything a senior or a talkative person said is maybe interpreted as like, this is my way or the only way. They're not saying that, but it's being interpreted that way. And so I've really been trying to learn about this model. And basically what I see it saying is that if you feel like those dynamics are going on, you can't just assume psychological safety. You have to do things to kind of build it back up. And so, you know, some things are like, if you are a person who's being perceived that way, that whatever you say, no matter how kindly and respectfully you say it, is perceived as like, you know, my way or the highway kind of thing, is that you just become really, really silent. And you offer back channel communications to help other people get voice. I don't have a lot of experience with this model, but I just wanted to throw it out there as something to discuss. Have you guys seen anything like this? Have you seen it help in certain situations? I'm really trying to learn, basically.
I've seen Chris Lucian inflict it upon us multiple times. It's kind of a variation, but I think it's kind of what you're talking about a little bit. But when we first mobbing, and it was just, I don't know, like five or six of us, and we'd get stuck on something, and, you know, we'd be trying to work through it, and I'd look at Chris, and he'd kind of be in the back of the room, and I could see him holding back. And so at some point I asked him in the middle of the exercise, I was like, do you know the answer to this? And he just got a big smile on his face, and I was like, okay, all right, this is a learning exercise. So I've seen Chris do it, you know, where he'll let us struggle, you know, it sort of ties into learning theft, you know, wanting us to have that aha moment and, you know, the sort of achievement you get from, you know, figuring it out on your own. So, I mean, I've seen him do that and, you know, model that behavior where he just sort of sits back and he'll know exactly what to do, but he'll let us have the moment to try to figure it out. And then if we don't, then, you know, he'll step in. But
yeah,
that's how I've seen it modeled.
I think there was a retrospective or something way back in the day where you had described learning theft to me for the first time. And I think that was a really good piece of feedback to me for essentially working that out. Cause obviously we were all kind of figuring mobbing out for the first time. And I think that, you know, it's like, yes, there are these shared concepts like psychological safety. And the assumption is that people independently have studied it together and have some sort of shared understanding. And I think normally that's probably not true. I think that people have to go out of their way to study what psychological safety is. And so, you know, but I also, I think one thing that I've learned over the years too, is that people need practice at individual skills that are separate. And so like when mobbing, especially if you have somebody that's newer to mobbing and somebody is trying to learn their navigation skill at the same time as their ability to generate an algorithm in their mind, those are two separate skills. And a lot of the times we're asking them to use both skills at the same time. And so, you know, this is more of like a complex adaptive systems problem, right? It's like the more things that you pile onto the stack, the less likely it's that somebody is going to actually practice one or the other. And so sometimes it's like, does this person have an issue navigating? Then what you can do is you could just send the what should be navigated over a chat or whisper it or navigate the navigator, like that sort of role. And I think that's where that came from. And alternatively, like if you know the person can navigate, but they're having trouble creating new algorithms to navigate, then that might be the maybe the silent senior where you hold back and kind of force other people to exercise those skills. But you know, if you do something where you just say, you know, hey, everybody stretches, and like that's, you know, that's kind of the answer. There's not this like separation of skills that you're trying to build up one skill at a time so that you stay on the fluent edge, so to speak. And so, you know, I think it's totally worth it. Like if somebody is just trying to figure out how to act with psychological safety, but they have other skills that they need to learn at the same time, then I think every new skill on the stack is going to be, you know, an additional difficulty that somebody has to deal with. So maybe that's a little bit of it. I don't know.
And the one thing I'll add on is I'm very intrigued by both models, and I'm really trying to learn from both. And I think I've seen both work, you know, so if psychological safety is in fact low, and if you're using the both stretch model where you assume it anyways, what I've typically seen is that people kind of, it might take months, but people typically rise, you know, to the higher levels of psychological safety, but it takes time. But I've also seen the silent senior work really well, where just that fruitful void just leave, you know, kind of. And I think me and Matt, you did this before, right? Where you were like, I really want to learn, you know, part of my goals this year is to learn A, B, and C. And so anytime we got to A, B, and C, it was like, okay, I'll drive, you navigate, you know?
Yeah, yeah. it works really well, the fruitful void, because there is like some form of guardrail. So, you know, if you go like way out to the side and you're like nowhere near like the silent senior at least can kind of nudge you back in the right direction. Yeah, I've seen it operate differently. Like I've been the silent senior before, specifically in college group projects, where you're obviously grouped with people that you enjoy and you want to see them learn and succeed, and so you don't want to answer all their questions. But sometimes it can kind of like drift in a more catastrophic, in your perception, direction. And like with grades on the line, I think it's different, but. Yeah, I think, right, like that goes back to the whole psychological safety and and maintaining kindness, consideration, and respect. And I think as long as you're operating there, the silent senior is super helpful.
Yeah, there's definitely this idea of like, if the assumed psychological safety is leading to a sink or swim, and there's like a bunch of skills that the person needs to learn at the same time, then that can go in the wrong direction. Also, you know, if you have psychological safety developed and you're using the silent senior piece, then that can reduce the amount of communication. So I think both practices have drawbacks as well as benefits. And so, but I think just being aware of the side effects of the number of skills that need to be developed at the same time, especially if there's like a skill gap, right? So I just wanted to ask Aaron and Matt, what's a piece of advice that you'd give a introvert experiencing mob programming for the first time?
I would say if you're an introvert experiencing mob programming for the first time, maybe try to mob program with one or more people that you're comfortable with, so you can kind of learn to throw ideas out there because even if you're comfortable with all of them, saying something in a group can be daunting as an introvert. So I think breaking out of that shell in the most like comforting way possible, just to open you up to the idea of it, would be the way to go. And then you can branch out from there. That would be my one piece of advice.
Yeah, I would agree with Matt. If you can find some people you're comfortable with, that'll definitely make it a little bit easier. You know, it's funny, like just thinking about that question, like I remember when I first started mobbing, it was when I worked with Woody Zuhl. And like, he just walked in with my manager and said, "Hey, we're putting a team together. We're going to try out this thing called Scrum. Do you want to do it?" And I was just like, "I've never heard of that and I don't know anything about it, but sure, I'll try it." So I don't know. It's like everybody has their trigger thing that sets them on a path, whether it's positive or negative. And that was sort of just a fluke for me. I don't know if I would have done that, you know, if it didn't just sort of happen impromptu like that. But you know, you just got to jump in and give it a try. Even though you might be anxious or, you know, concerned, just, you know, give it a try. You just got to try it. But, you know, everybody's got to come to their own moment where they feel safe to make, you know, to jump in the deep end of the pool. But yeah, I'd say if you start out with friends, people you know you're comfortable with.
Awesome. Okay, one last experiment that I want to do with our listeners here, and this might be awful. I think I know I will be in pain, physical pain, is we're going to do just 28 seconds of silence so we can hear what that sounds like.
Oh, that's cake.
On your set. Wait, ready, get set, go. Oh, and wow, that was really hard. Oh my God.
If you think it was bad for us, imagine how it's going to uncomfortable it's going to be for people watching.
Yeah. Well, sorry to make everyone uncomfortable, especially those extroverts trying to learn. So maybe Austin, you can take it away now.
Yeah. So thanks for that, Chris. That stretched me. We want to just do a huge shout out to Aaron and Matt for being on the show with us. This was just fantastic to have this conversation, and love to keep it going on YouTube, Twitter, and more, and all the different platforms. And please like and subscribe in the comments. And also, I will put in the show notes Aaron's excellent article from the Agile Alliance on mob programming for introverts. So please check that out. And until next time, mob well and have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.